We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to Dove Valley Deep Divers with Eric Trickle
and Lance Sanderson.
Ball comes out of the hands of Newton. It's on the ground, picked up by T.J. Ward at the four-yard line. Vaughn Miller did it again.
On Overtime Media.
Mile High Huddle, everybody in Broncos country. Welcome into another episode of the Dove Valley Deep Divers podcast. I am your host, Lance Sanderson, and joining me, as per usual, is my good friend and colleague. He is Mile High Huddle's senior NFL draft analyst, my good friend and colleague. He is Eric Trickle. Eric, what's going on, man? How are you doing this evening?
Doing good. Extremely tired yesterday. You know, as you know, I messed up my back yesterday and
yeah,
it was bothering me. I didn't sleep well that night. I didn't sleep well last night. But I'm excited. This is going to be a fun show. I'm excited that we're, you know, in the final week of it. I only have like four more scouting report articles to do. My final mock draft is going to come out next week. So I'm excited. We're in the final legs of it. And then I get to, you know, do last, you know, couple wrap-up articles. Then I get to take a step back and take a nice, you know, brief vacation with the family.
Yeah, man. I'm actually looking forward to that as well, just putting the grind in and doing as much as I possibly can. I've got an article coming up for you to edit here. Probably after the show is up, I'll write the interior offensive lineman article. But all of our scouting reports, guys, we are grinding as much as we possibly can to get this all of this content to you guys, just to kind of educate you a little bit on what these players are in this 2024 NFL draft. And like Eric said, we have a great show planned for you tonight. We're going to go through the top 12 of the first round of the 2024 NFL draft and kind of break down as many scenarios as we possibly can to give a better picture of what we're hearing, what people are saying about this class, and what our opinions are, and who could potentially be available for the Broncos at number 12. Could they potentially trade up? Are they going to move back? Could they stand pat at number 12 overall and take a player? But before we get into that, let's say hello to everybody here in the chat. We've got Joe Anthony over on Facebook. That's a new name. Welcome, Joe. Thank you for joining us. Michael Tafoya, Jeremy Sean, Todd Osendorf, Mike Naylor, Michael Ronquillo jumping in, as he is always want to do, dropping some stars on Facebook. Thank you, Michael, for your support, saying good evening, Lance and Eric, on the Dove Valley Deep Divers. Go Broncos. Go Michael, as always, dude. One of the best supporters, number one on the Mile High Huddle, Mount Rushmore, at least in my opinion. We've got Daniel Berry, Mike Woodward, Paul in the house. I talked to him a little bit earlier on Twitter. DTR in the house as well. William Catalano, Jeremy Sean, David Yunkin. We got a great group in here so far. Let's get some more people in here. Make sure you guys smash that like button and get this. Let's get this party started. Eric, dude, should we do the ad read first, or do you want to just jump into this conversation a little bit and get started
on this? Let's get the ad read, and then we can get started with the mock draft.
Okay, well, and that's probably the best idea to do this. And guys, we do apologize, but these guys are wonderful supporters of the show. We're talking about AG1, guys. The older you get, the more seriously you need to take care of your health and nutrition. Enter in AG1. No matter what you do for a living, it can become all too convenient to rely on coffee, caffeine, anything that you can to get that extra energy and focus. But that's not great for your body, especially your blood pressure, and there's always the dreaded crash. With AG1, you get sustained energy, so you're not reaching for another cup of coffee in the afternoon. And on top of that, we all know it sucks to swallow those gigantic horse pill vitamins. We all know how crucially important it is to take care of your gut health when it comes to probiotics. AG1 checks all three of those boxes, and it does so in an impressive, life-altering way. You get focus, energy, nutrition, and improved gut health all in one delicious smoothie. AG1 is next-level stuff, guys.
Yeah, AG1 is the supplement that many people trust to support their whole body health and help them feel their best. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs when you first subscribe. Go to drinkag1.com/huddle. That is drinkag1.com/huddle. Go check it out.
Yeah, thank you, AG1. We definitely appreciate your guys' support. As always, you guys, again, such a great supporter of the show. You guys do wonders for us. And AG1, man, go check it out. They're a great company. And yeah, their supplements are amazing. But this show, dude, I'm so excited to do this because I've been listening to a lot of different mock draft scenarios in terms of podcasts, from NFL Stock Exchange to the Athletic Football Podcast with Dane Brugler and Nate Tice. Like, I've tried to listen to as many different scenarios as humanly possible over the last 4 or 5 days to bring to you guys a great scenario, a great opportunity to open up this discussion for the Denver Broncos. We got Michael Ronquillo jumping in here again, saying good evening, Keith. Keith Brugman jumps in the house. We got GLP jumping in here as well off the top rope with a $10 super chat saying, hey, Lance and Eric, hey, Broncos country, just a little love. It's always a lot of love with you, GLP. Dude, we appreciate you for joining us in here, man. Eric, I'm going to pass this off to you because you're going to be the one running this document. And, you know, we already know kind of how the first two picks of this draft is going to go. Caleb Williams to the Chicago Bears. And from the sound of it, I mean, there's some rumblings coming out. Jaden Daniels, number two. But I want you to just kind of explain, how do you think this board is going to fall with number three overall, man? It's like, that's where the draft begins, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I have it set up on, you know, number for the first two picks here. And we'll go through those really quickly. Obviously, Chicago Bears, they're pretty much set on Caleb Williams. All they have to do is go out there and announce the name. And unfortunately for us, they're going to probably wait out the whole clock, which is always annoying. It's always annoying when they do that, but to a degree, you understand it. And then I'll type in the name here for who I think is going number two. Jane Daniels. There's been a lot of stuff going around today about Jane Daniels not necessarily wanting to go with the Washington. I guess his agent had some complaints about what the Washington Commanders did recently. I don't know if you've heard this, Lance, but they brought in a bunch of prospects, including multiple of those top quarterbacks, and took them to Top Golf, I believe. and the agent had issues with that. But the thing is that's pretty common practice. When you have a high pick, you typically bring in a lot of guys at once and just see how they interact with each other. You also bring in guys that you could get up, that you can possibly pick up later. Sorry about that. And see how they interact with them too, because they can eventually be teammates. You want to see the competition that they have and all these different things. The Rams, I think they take them to Dave and Buster's to see how they do, and just seeing how they are in public as well, getting to see that side of them. Do they have a bit of arrogance to them or anything like that? As much as, you know, I'm not fully buying that Jane Daniels doesn't want to go to Washington, even if his agent has issues. But the thing is, in the end, it doesn't really matter. Players can't force themselves from being the pick like they used to be able to. Mm-hmm. If the Washington Commanders want Jane Daniels, they're going to pick Jane Daniels. And from everything I've heard going back to early February, Jane Daniels seems to be the guy for Washington.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So, yeah, I didn't know that they took those guys out to Topgolf and stuff like that. All I heard was that they brought them in for, like, they brought in, I believe it was JJ McCarthy, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, and Michael Penix Jr. They brought them all in at the same time and did a big visit with all of them together, taking them into Topgolf and seeing what they do at, like, Dave and Buster's to see how they compete with each other. That's kind of an interesting wrinkle, and I had not heard that. So that's a really good piece of information.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. Another element that you can sit there and test. I know the 49ers, they're another team that fairly often they'll bring in a bunch of players together. And I'm sure that's something that Adam Peters picked up from John Lynch.
Right.
It's just a way to see them in a different, you know, situation, different environment, you know, adding to this competition aspect between them all. And really, again, getting to see a different kind of side of them that can help with your evaluation. Mm-hmm. But the draft, in my opinion, it really starts here at pick 3. What do the Patriots do? Do they stay put and take a quarterback, or do they trade down? From what I understand here is that there's a lot of pressure on them to walk out of this with a quarterback, and who that quarterback is, it depends. From what I've gathered is there are two options that the coaching staff wants. Well, there is one option that the owner wants. Who's going to win here? That is always a debate to have. We saw in Carolina last year, well, the coaching staff wanted one quarterback, the ownership wanted the other, and the ownership won out. Being Robert Kraft, there's a good chance that he can win out and all this stuff, especially, you know, if you read that article about Bill Belichick and why he's in a coach and what Robert Kraft did for that, man, that was pretty enlightening. But in the end, I do think that the Patriots are going to stay put and take a quarterback. The question I have is which one?
Right. My thing here, and I'm going to offer you a different scenario here, and with Gerard Mayo and a new regime coming in here, that team was it's in pretty bad shape. That roster overall is not necessarily very great right now. So do you want to, with the number 3 overall pick, stay there and take a quarterback? Are you looking at, like, the best player on the board here? Marvin Harrison Jr., dude. Like, they need wide receiver help. They still have Jacoby Brissett as a bridge quarterback, maybe roll through this season, move into next year, kind of build the nest a little bit, and then find that quarterback next year.
Yeah, I don't think if they want to go elsewhere besides quarterback, I think they're going to be looking at moving down. They will probably jump at the chance to take that Minnesota Vikings deal, which, throw in just a quick thing about with this mock draft that we're doing, there will be trades included, but I'm not going to go heavy into what the details will be. It's just going to be basically the generic ones of how it affects the first round. So, like, if I had the Minnesota Vikings trading up here, which I don't, I'll keep it with New England, it would basically be their 2 first-round picks this year, and then for the 3rd overall pick, and then forcing the trade. Just because when you start getting into the conversation about what all it can take, you're just really throwing stuff at the wall at that point.
Right, yeah.
So that value up, it'll likely, for Minnesota to get up, it's going to include both firsts this year. That's a fact, and that's something that is something we can use and go off of.
Yeah, and like the big thing here, and this is like you said, you know, this is if the Patriots are not willing to stay at number 3 overall, they're probably going to be looking to move down. If they're not taking that quarterback, everyone's talking about the Broncos moving up into the top 4 to get one of these quarterbacks. And if they're going to be able to do that, they don't have that draft ammo that the Minnesota Vikings do. I mean, it is Pat Surtain something you are willing to throw into a trade up? Like, you need at least number 12, you need Pat Surtain, and you need that first round pick next year, maybe even more, to get up above where the Minnesota Vikings can go with 11 and 23 overall. So is this potentially an option here for the Broncos? Are we talking they may not be able to afford something like that and looking around the 5, 6, 7 area in terms of a trade up for a quarterback?
I think if the Broncos want to move up for a quarterback, they need that quarterback to fall past pick 7.
Yeah.
There's not a scenario where they can get up and outbid these other teams that also have been linked with wanting to move up for a quarterback.
Right.
Just simply because of the situation that no second round pick this year really hurts them in any attempt to move up. They do not want to include Patrick Surtain, despite numerous reports saying otherwise that are incorrect reports. Mm-hmm. They don't want to include Patrick Surtain. They don't want to lose that cornerstone at the corner position that they have. So those two aspects, you could basically kiss trying to trade up into the top 5, into the top 7. You can basically kiss that goodbye.
Yeah. So let's get back to the Patriots here. If they're going to stay pat at number 3 and take this quarterback, from what I understand, Robert Kraft is really pressuring to go and get a guy that can thrive from the pocket, kind of a – not necessarily the same aspect as a Tom Brady, but like, if you're looking for a guy that can work in the pocket, Drake May seems to be the guy that Robert Kraft is kind of desiring in this thing. And like you said, the coaching staff is a little bit kind of torn and whatnot. What do you think the Patriots ultimately do at number three?
Ultimately, I think that they're going to – I am so torn on this. I think – I am not sure which quarterback they end up with simply because of the conversation that's going on there. From what I understand, Robert Kraft wants Drake May. The coaching staff wants J.J. McCarthy or Jaden Daniels, but Jaden Daniels is off the board. I am not sure which way they want to go, and part of that conversation is everything I've heard with Minnesota is that they're fine with either one. So
right.
I'll probably go J.J. McCarthy here.
Okay.
With the Vikings moving up for Drake May, but I could, this is a situation where I could easily see it flipped the other way around.
Right. So let's do McCarthy here and just respect the coaching staff a little bit. Gerard Mayo is going to have his opportunity to go in and work with this and get the guy that he wants to have. I know Bob Kraft is one of the best owners in the NFL in terms of not really dictating everything, but he makes his voice heard, at least within these conversations. So he's going to rely on Gerard Mayo, I think, and J.J. McCarthy is the guy. We got Howard T. jumping in here. First time seeing your name, Howard. Thank you for joining us with the $5 Super Chat. Nothing to say, just showing some love. So thank you for joining us. If you got a comment, put it back in there, and we'll grab that here in just a few minutes. So thank you, Howard. We appreciate you, dude. Number four overall. This is the one spot where I do believe that the draft kind of hinges on in terms of movement. If you're talking about a team willing to move down and then move back up to go and get their guy, the Arizona Cardinals have already done this before. With Monty Austin-Fort, they traded down, I believe, from number three overall, went outside the top 10, then moved back up into number six overall to take Paris Johnson Jr., who they wanted at number three, but they knew that they could get a draft haul. They ended up getting a bunch of picks for that. We're still able to move back up into the top seven, get the guy that they wanted. So this is a scenario here. I know that they like Marvin Harrison Jr., Eric. What do you think that they ultimately do here? Because this is one of those spots where Minnesota, Denver, the Raiders, if they want to, this is a spot that's apparently open for sale right now.
It is. And the thing is at this point with three quarterbacks in, this is where things really start to pick up for those teams wanting to move up for the quarterback. The New York Giants have been hinted at wanting to move up for a quarterback.
Right. Yeah.
The Raiders, the Saints, the Vikings, obviously, and of course the Broncos. As I said, I don't see the Broncos being able to get up here. And the Vikings, they might be content of, I mean, how do I put this? They might be willing to call the Cardinals bluff. Because it's going to be difficult for the Cardinals to move down and then move back up for the guy that they're eyeing at four. Basically, if they're doing this, they're going to move down from four and then move back up to five. That seems to be like where that thing is so they can get that certain guy. And that's what I'm going to have them do. I'm going to have them move down to four. I'm going to have them end up, you know, trading down with the Minnesota Vikings. As I said, Minnesota Vikings, they have the easiest way to, you know, basically get up there. They have the most ammo. Having those two first round picks this year, having those future picks, and having a full slate of future picks is able to get that to happen. So while I think that the Cardinals would be fine, would be content staying there and picking up the guy that they want, that they've been linked to, I think that ideally they'll like to move back and then just turn around and flip some of these picks, flip 11 and probably, because at this point, Arizona already has two first round picks because they got that first round pick from in that trade up last year. So I'm confident that, or I'm, I shouldn't say confident. I believe they would be fine moving down from four and then turning around using two first round picks, 11 included, to get back up to five. And with them here, with the Vikings here, Drake May or J.J. McCarthy, whichever one that the Patriots don't choose.
Right. What is the second first round pick that they have? Is it 26 or 27? I can't remember. The Cardinals. Huh?
27.
27. Okay. I that's what I thought it was. I've also seen scenarios where they maybe don't move back up to number five, but if the Chargers do something crazy here, because they, rather than taking a wide receiver like Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers, they could go with Joe Alt, the tackle out of Notre Dame. Like, that makes a crazy scenario. Before we get into that, though, we got Michaela Parker, the Duchess. Oh my goodness. It is so good to see you back in the chat. off the top rope here with a $5 super chat saying, I don't think there's any other choice but to draft a quarterback. Any other outcome will cause Bronco country to go berserk. And get ready to go berserk, Miss Parker, because it's not looking good right now. Obviously the first four quarterbacks go off in the first four picks. And I don't know about you, Eric. Well, actually I do know about you well enough to say that I don't think that the Broncos are going to sit at number 12 and take a quarterback, at least with that particular pick. They could potentially move back and go back into the 20s or early 30s to get a guy, maybe early on day two. But as of right now, the way that this mock draft is shaking out, quarterback at 12 is probably not going to happen here, man.
Yeah, I don't think the Broncos go quarterback at 12 unless like one of these guys happens to fall. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of conversation about Bo Nix. I do want to grab this from Chris saying I wouldn't take Nix with a sixth rounder. That's not true. It's my pushback against Nix has always been he's not a first round pick. And that is sentiment that has been shared with me, my belief as well. It is sentiment that has been shared with me by multiple people in and around the NFL. Like, sure, I know that the mock drafts keep putting them there at 12 and everything. And a lot of mock drafts are made to fill out the need. And Denver has a need at quarterback, and that's going to push Bo Nix up. Bo Nix has a second-round grade for me. I could see him crack the bottom of the first round, maybe. But no, I don't think he is. I think that somebody else said that there's a lot of bias against Bo Nix. It's not bias against Bo Nix to have concerns about somebody's game. And then I saw somebody else make a comment about what somebody else said about Cecil Abney, what he said about Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence throwing more screens in college than Bo Nix did. That is factually incorrect.
It is.
Like, that isn't true at all. I don't know where he got that from. But no, I was able to do a quick Google search while we were live after I saw that comment to find out that is not true. And it's not just that Bo Nix threw a lot of screens. His arm strength is fine, but not great. The biggest thing is that 70% of his passes over the last 2 years at Oregon, 70%, no other quarterback cracked 65. 70% of his passes were either behind the line of scrimmage to 10 yards downfield.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean they were just screens. It was just a lot of quick, easy passes, which is a big part of the Oregon offense. Even Justin Herbert had a lower percentage from that, and the offense was basically the same thing.
Yep.
So Bo Nix is a fine quarterback, and it's just a matter of the value. And if he does go at 12, Todd, yeah, I'll eat crow. I'll admit that I was wrong. Everything I heard was wrong. Will you guys do the same if Denver passes on him at 12? Honest question. Everybody in here who keeps hounding me about Denver taking Nix at 12, if he doesn't, will you guys eat the crow?
That's my thing here, guys. Like, we are giving you our opinions and stuff like that. And not to say that we know any better than anybody. We don't. I mean, this is the NFL. I damn near cuss there. This is the NFL draft. Nobody knows what's going to happen. We're trying to project as much as we can based on our evaluations and bring you enough information to, like, I don't want to say like educate you guys, because that's not really the right thing. Just let's have a conversation. You can't tell us that we're wrong all the time. Say, I hope you eat crow and yada, yada, yada. And then when we are right or wrong, then, you know, back off into the shadows and never show your face again. Like, let's have a fun conversation here. I love crow too, Orange Crush. Crow is amazing with sriracha sauce. If you deep fry it and throw some sriracha sauce on there, it's amazing. It's practically like chicken wings. Let's have the same energy though. If you're going to criticize us for our opinions on it, when we're wrong, yeah, come back at us and we'll eat the crow. When you guys are wrong, let's have that conversation too and say, you know what? You guys were right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to come at you like that. Let's have an honest conversation about that, because that actually kind of does piss me off, where I will give an opinion. Eric will slap me down, and I respect his opinion. I respect all your guys' opinion as well. Eric will slap me down, but when I'm right, I don't slap it in his face, you know? Or if Eric's wrong, I don't slap that in his face. And when Eric's right, I say, Eric, dude, you were right. Good job, man. Congratulations. Let's have a fun conversation with this, because it's starting to get a little to the point of that it's not fun anymore to have conversations like that, because I don't know. The dissonance between Broncos country right now is it's hard to deal with. Let's get back to this here, because I do want to have this conversation about the Chargers at number 5 overall. Is this a Marvin Harrison Jr. pick, or are we talking Joe Alt here?
I had the Chargers trading down. I don't think they want to stay at 5 whatsoever. Arizona, okay. I have them moving back up, you know, basically doing what I talked about and getting the guy that they would have taken at 4. And basically, from what I think would happen, is they would basically move up, trade 11. They got 23 as well for that trade down from 4. And they basically turn 11 and 27, plus other picks, of course, to get up to 5. So they move up in that back half of the first round a little bit.
Right.
And that puts the Giants on the clock. And again, I don't see many defenders going in the top 10. And just because the top of this defensive class isn't great, like, there are options, sure, but, you know, the tackle class, the quarterback class, the wide receiver class, and I think that the Giants, with the 4 quarterbacks off the board, if there's still a quarterback here, I think it's quarterback, but with the 4 quarterbacks off the board, they're going to go get a weapon. And I think they go with the explosive LSU receiver, Malik Nabers.
This pick makes too much sense. If we kind of talked about this a little bit before we went live, if the board went wonky and, like, say the Patriots did take Marvin Harrison Jr., that causes some action and whatnot, maybe a quarterback does fall. Like, I could definitely see them going and getting a quarterback to then, you know, push Daniel Jones down the board. But the Giants just invested a big money contract in Daniel Jones, like, helping him out. He's coming off that torn ACL. Let's give him one better option that he's ever had in his entire life and just see what we have with him, even if there is a quarterback on the board. That's a scenario that I like to play with a little bit. And
can Brian Daboll afford it?
That's the big question. It's Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. Like, those two guys, they're going into year 3, and they need to have success right now. So that's the big thing. With the Titans here, I love – so the way that I've been listening to these podcasts, everyone's like, Joe Alt to the Titans, and Titans fans are pissed off. Like, why don't you guys ever give us any other different scenario? Well, here's the reason why. You guys already have a quality defense. You have quality edge rushers. You have quality wide receivers. You went out and signed a bunch of different guys. You're looking at Will Levis, and you need to figure out a way to protect him a hell of a lot better than you did last season. Joe Alt's the best tackle in this class, and here you go. This is pretty much your guy. Eric, what do you think?
Well, real quick, Jared, I wasn't trying to single you out or anything. I know that you're just passing along and asking our thoughts on it. I wasn't trying to come at you about it. And Todd, it wasn't so much you specifically. It was just kind of a generalization. Yeah. Because there are so many times, and not to take this conversation back, I often will get messages through Facebook or Twitter of, oh, what you said on the podcast was wrong. Ha, 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 ha. But when these people do that, they'll never admit that they're wrong. So it was just a generalization to people in there. And it's just... Yep. And it's more so to show that the dichotomy between this, what we do, is very different. Lance and I, we put our takes out there every single Friday in multiple articles and everything. We put our face on it. We put our name on it. So, yeah, when we're wrong, we're going to be wrong. We're not going to be 100% right, and we have to own it and everything. But in chat, you guys have a bit more of a ability to be anonymous about it and can – back up a little bit when you're wrong. And it's something that I've seen a lot from multiple people in the chat, just not specifically you, Todd. Sorry. And sorry if it came off that way.
Well, it's not specifically anybody. That happens all over.
Going back to the mock draft, Joe Alt here for the Titans. I mean, it's exactly what you hit on it. They have some, Nick really likes Drake May, by the way, since that's being brought up in the chat. You kind of hit the nail on the head. Is they are really, really rolling with Will Levis to see what he can do for them. Mm-hmm. They went out, they added some weapons. They have a pretty decent defense. Their offensive line is absolutely garbage.
Yep.
Take the best tackle in the class, though I don't think he's miles ahead of the next guy, but there is very little technical stuff that you have to do with Joe Alt. You can plug him in and pretty much get success right away. Or hopefully get success from it right away. I don't want to make it seem like it's a sure thing, because obviously there is a chance he fails. And they have one of the best offensive line coaches to have ever coached to the NFL. And that should just help things along. And giving him somebody that he doesn't have to spend a lot of time with to develop, where he can focus on developing guys elsewhere. Yeah, like, just do it.
Yeah. No, I'm with you with that. I want to run and grab this comment really fast. Timothy, not to go back to the whole opinion, whatever. First things first, United States Air Force veteran, saying your opinion, Broncos fan since 1960. Thank you for your service, Timothy. We appreciate that. Thank you for joining the show. This is the first time I've seen your name in this, and I wanted to just give you a shout out for, first off, retired United States Air Force veteran. That's awesome. My grandfather was in the Air Force, so thank you for your service. And again, we're glad you joined us in here with that. The Atlanta Falcons, back to this really fast. The Atlanta Falcons are looking defense. Yes, Eric, like we're talking edge rusher here, potentially cornerback here. I don't think they need offensive line help. Like we're looking for defense. This is another spot here. If not saying that in this particular mock draft, obviously the Broncos are missing out on the quarterbacks here, but this is a potential spot for the Broncos to move up. If they do identify a quarterback that has fallen, this seems to be the ideal place for the Broncos to find a trade up to go and get that quarterback, because as this board continues to fall, these defenders are still falling off the board. We are now 7 picks into this mock draft, and there has not been a single defender taken yet. This could stop that slide, Eric. I know Terrion Arnold is a big name here out of Alabama, the cornerback, and I also know Dallas Turner out of Alabama is a big name here. Which direction do you think they ultimately go?
So I just want to say, Rick, it's because my office is freezing cold, man. I left my window open yesterday because it was really hot in here. So I left my window open and it got really cold overnight and my office is freezing. Typically, I don't have the hood up, but the hat, it's the name of the show. So I wear the hat for that. But only reason why it's both is because it is really cold in my office. My fingertips are frozen.
So, Eric, let me ask you a quick question before you go on to this comment. Is that the only hat that you own?
No.
Okay. You actually have other ball caps?
Mm-hmm. I used to collect ball caps.
Really? Okay. So this is
obviously what I collect changed. But yeah, I have a bunch of ball caps. I have like 8 laying around the house.
Nice. I have a stack in the closet that my wife is trying to make me get rid of because I don't wear them all. Cause I wear this one and then a couple that I have from work. But no, I need to find my Dove Valley Deep Divers hat. I'm fairly certain a dog got a hold of it and it's gone. I cannot find it. That's why I wear the Building the Broncos hat. Anyways, let's get back to this. Sorry. Side note, it's Raider. Fun. Hey, easy. This is Nick and Carl we're talking about. You got to support the boys, all right?
Do we? It's Nick. Like, we it support
is
Carl. Nick.
It is absolutely Nick, so that's fair.
We love Nick. But no, anyways, going back to the mock draft, this is where if the Falcons want to trade down, and there is a reason, there are teams that could be looking to get up here. Romo Dunze, there's a lot of link in him there at 9 about moving, and you know, teams may want to jump the Chicago Bears at 9 to get Romo Dunze, and the Falcons will be willing to listen. If they stay put, I think it's defense. I think it's most likely a certain edge rusher. And so that's probably where I'll go with this. It's where I think they'll go come draft night. Mm-hmm. But the issue is when it comes to trading down is trying to find a team that can move up to get Romo Dunze. And the first team that can come that comes to mind really as an option would be the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. At pick 15. And I am not sure the Falcons want to risk losing both of their defensive players that they are looking at. And there is a good chance they can miss out on both of them, even moving down to 15.
Well, so I'm actually going to have them.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you also have to think about teams, and we kind of discussed this in the group chat a little bit ago. Teams moving up to come and get a different wide receiver. Teams coming up to find an offensive tackle. Teams coming up to maybe get a cornerback. I mean, I know there's some teams in the 20s that need cornerback help. So whether it may be if they're willing to risk losing out on Arnold or Dallas Turner, I mean, they can move back far to about 15 or so and still be kind of in that range, but you never know what other teams are coming up to say, we really love Dallas Turner coming out of Jacksonville. you know, to pair with Josh Allen, that's a guy that that's a team that can move up. You need another team like the Miami Dolphins who could use a cornerback. They could move up and come and get Terry. Like moving back only works so well if you can stay within the range of who you're like who you're willing to lose. And also you have to factor in the teams moving up to go get that other player as well.
Yeah. So I think they're going to stay put. I think they're going to take Dallas Turner. There has been a lot of talk about part of the reason why I don't have them moving down and risking Terrion Arnold or Dallas Turner is both the Raiders and the Chargers have been linked with both of them. And so I don't think moving down to 15 gives them a realistic shot at getting Dallas Turner. So I think they stay put. And with Chicago Bears on top, Rome Odunze giving Caleb Williams that wide receiver, that's there. And then for the Jets, there's obviously some tackle options here. They have older tackles that are, you know, injury prone, but everything seems to be that they want to, you know, continue building that offense and go really all in around Aaron Rodgers. They can try and land a tackle later. This is a strong tackle class, but tight end is very weak, and they can use a player like Brock Bowers to help boost that offense to the next level. And then getting to pick 11 so we can get to the Broncos pick at 12 and get start discussing that. The Minnesota Vikings wide receiver, that was an option for them. They can go edge rusher because they're likely going to be moving on from their edge rushers over the next year. Both Khalil Mack and Bosa, they're probably on their way on their way out. I think they go tackle and help protect Justin Herbert a little bit. There has been a lot linking Talese Fuaga to the San Diego to the Los Angeles Chargers. Man, it's been a long time since they've been to San Diego, and that's what I almost said. And so we get to the Broncos pick here at 12 with Fuaga going number 11.
And see, that makes a lot of sense. I'm going to run back through this really fast. Brock Bowers, like the Jets, I heard a fun scenario where the Jets traded up with the Giants after the first four quarterbacks went down just so that they could get their hands on a guy like Malik Nabers or Rome Odunze. You know, at New York to New York, let's trust that connection. We live in the same building. Why the hell not? Let's move up with the Jets. Go get a Rome Odunze to pair with a Garrett Wilson and give you another explosive play threat in terms of a receiver. Malik Nabers makes a lot of sense there as well. But staying at number 12, getting that tight end, that big slot player that's going to just help work over the middle of the field. And Aaron Rodgers really likes to use those tight ends over the middle of the field like that. That makes a lot of sense. With the Chargers taking Talese Fuaga at number 11, that makes great sense with the mentality of Jim Harbaugh in this team. You want to talk about a physical player going out there and just blowing holes open in the running game, quality pass protector, but a physical, very physical player can play on the inside and on the outside. Those two picks make a lot of sense. Now, Eric, I want you to scroll up to the top of your board here. Well, you are at the top of the board. Why PFF has Cooper DeJean that high is just beyond me. However, cornerback, edge rusher, Cooper DeJean, Quinion Mitchell, Laia Tulatu, Jerzon Newton, Byron Murphy, Terrion Arnold, Troy Fautanu are the top six or seven players available. Olufushanu is there as well. The quarterbacks are gone. Denver needs dramatic help on the defensive line, and I know you're not as big of a fan as Johnny Newton as a lot of people are. I've seen mocks with him going in the top 10 at number 9 to the Chicago Bears as well. Byron Murphy is a player that I like. What do you think about those two guys? Is there a conversation there in terms of the Broncos staying at 12 and taking an interior defensive lineman to help this pass rush?
I think there's a avenue to it, but it's just very unlikely. I think if they stay put at 12, they're looking at a couple of pair of edges. And I think that ideally they want to move back. And from what I've gathered is that they have talked to multiple teams in the teens about moving back and having those teams specifically moving up for a tackle. This is about where we'll see quite a bit of maybe not actual movement go through, but a lot of teams wanting to move up and they want to get that fourth receiver. They want to get, you know, the meat of this tackle class. There's still four high quality tackles here and teams want to move up because they're about to start going off the board here. In the end, I do have the Rams. I think the Rams are a team that I have heard a lot of talk chatter about wanting to move up and being desperate to move up for them to get a tackle, not an edge. Yep. So I'm actually going to have, that's what I'm going to do. And I know this is going to bother a lot of Bronco fans out there. A lot of Bronco fans watching. Writing it down, I'm not taking Bo Nix. I know it's going to bother y'all, but I just don't think the Broncos end up picking at 12, no matter what. I think they either move up somehow and get a quarterback, or they move down and continue to let the board fall out, pick up a little bit extra draft picks to help with their salary cap situation this year. And even next year, even though they're projected to have over $100 million in salary cap space next year, having some additional rookie contracts can help them spend that money to retain their own guys like Quinn Meinerz, Baron Browning, Patrick Surtain, Jonathan Cooper, Javonte Williams, Samaje Perine, all these guys.
Yep.
They can use that money to extend them. And it's a little bit easier when you just have those rookie contracts in it.
Right.
I'm not going to go into the full details. I think something similar to what the Broncos got from their, what was it, 2019 draft when they traded down from 10 to 20 with Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
something along those lines, you know, where that was that, you know, pick 20, that second round pick, and then a future third. I could see something along those lines being what the Broncos end up taking here. And, but again, as I said, I'm not going to go heavy onto that. I am just going to give the two first round picks and then force the trade.
There you go. Just to offer a little bit of context to this whole situation, there was a report, and I've been trying to not talk him into the show, but Benjamin Albright, the other day on his radio show, was talking about the Rams being a potential trade-up possibility with the Denver Broncos. Eric, you were the first one to give this suggestion a handful of weeks ago. I believe that was the show that I missed, and you did the solo mock draft by yourself where you had the Broncos trading down with the Rams. I think you had them trading down again as well. You heard it here first, guys. The Broncos trading down with the Rams. That's it. Eric's got some good knowledge on this one, and it sounds like there's some outside people also saying the same thing. So, I just wanted to give you your kudos. The big thing with the Rams here, moving up, looking for an offensive tackle, and you have them taking Olu Fashanu here. I see that. Olu Fashanu, athletic, big, rangy, good pass protector, needs to work on his run blocking and power and stuff like that. What about Amarius Mims here? Does that make sense for the Rams in terms of that high-end athlete that kind of needs a little bit of time to develop but can still turn into a quality left or right tackle for a team? Just he's so young and so raw, hasn't played a whole lot. Does Mims make sense for the Rams?
And
wait, what? What? Did you miss what I heard, what I said?
No, I'm trying to – there was just a comment that drew my attention. From what I understand is that the Rams, they want to continue to go basically all in. They took that step back next year, overachieved. They want to make sure that overachievement wasn't an actual overachievement. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And continue building. They got to shore up that offensive line. They got to protect Matthew Stafford. Mims, I think, needs a little bit more time to develop a little bit. And that's why I have Fashanu going to the Rams. And then for the Raiders, they have like one of the worst kept secrets this year is the Raiders and Terrion Arnold.
Yep. Yeah. I'm not sure if I broke up with you or anything like that. If you didn't hear what I was kind of breaking down with that, what I was saying was Amarius Mims to the Rams. I guess you kind of answered that. Regardless, we're sitting here at number 14 overall, and the New Orleans Saints sitting on the clock. It sounds everything that I've heard out of New Orleans is they're looking for an offensive tackle. And Ryan Ramczyk has a knee issue and had surgery. It doesn't sound like he's going to be able to play this year. His career is in question, from what I understand. Like, tackle is a huge thing here. Wide receiver could be an option for the Saints. What do you think, dude? Is this a Troy Fautanu place? Is this a Marion Mims? Like, or Amarius Mims, excuse me. I don't know. Like, I've also heard cornerback could be in play here. Quinnen Mitchell, I've heard a couple different times. What do you think?
The Saints are one of the hardest teams to predict.
They are. Yep.
They have been linked with moving up, mostly for Malik Nabers. That has been the popular one there. They have been linked with, you know, different tackles. They have been linked with different with defensive linemen. They're a popular placement for Byron Murphy. I think that they're going tackle just because of the issues with Ryan Ramczyk and, you know, his career possibly being over and all that stuff like that. And I think that this is where I have Mims going. It's tough to place exactly which tackle here. because it can go in multiple different ways. The reason why I have Mims is he doesn't have enough experience to be cemented basically as a right tackle. He is still very much a developmental guy, and they can eventually move him over to left tackle as well with additional development, which is why I have that going there. And guys, I know that the thing says top 12 simulation, but it was just a miscommunication. It was supposed to be until the Broncos pick. And we have Howard T coming in with a $4.99 donations. And could we Patrick Surtain to Atlanta if one of the QBs falls for pick 8, a second round pick and a first and 25, then draft a QB at 8 and best player available? No. Atlanta would want number 12. So that's if there's not 12 included, they're not going to give, even for Patrick Surtain, they're not going to give up having a first round pick this year with the situation that they are in with Kirk Cousins' contract. Mm-hmm. So I don't see that as being an option. I don't think any of the top four quarterbacks will be there at 8. I think that the lowest that they'll be gone is, or the latest they'll be gone is in the first 6 picks. That's just what it sounds like that they want. As much as I'm sure Atlanta would love Patrick Surtain, there's financial issues there that are kind of keeping things a little bit in check, that they want to get, you know, one of those young guy on a rookie contract in a premier position like edge rusher as we have it.
Right.
Now, we got to keep moving along because.
Okay. We're running out of time. I was just going to have one quick thing, but it's fine. Go ahead.
Now for the Colts here, corner is a big one. I know that you actually presented an interesting situation earlier, and I'll let you go ahead and take that. I think you're at the right position. I think you're just with the wrong player.
So I heard this was from Trevor Sikkema and Connor Rogers on the NFL Stock Exchange podcast. I want to give these guys credit because when you hear an idea and you want to bring it to somebody else, give credit, guys. Give credit to your content creator friends because they deserve the credit for this idea. They were talking about, and in their specific situation, they had Quinnen Mitchell going off the board. I believe it was to the Las Vegas Raiders. In their situation, they talked about Cooper DeJean, the cornerback slash defensive back slash safety, whatever you want to call him, out of Iowa, going to the Indianapolis Colts because he plays so well in cover 3, and Gus Bradley is their defensive coordinator in Indianapolis. Gus Bradley famously was a defensive coordinator with the Seattle Seahawks prior to Dan Quinn, was a head coach in Jacksonville that ran the defense there in Jacksonville with the Jaguars. He runs a primarily cover 3 scheme, off ball cover 3. Cooper DeJean plays it very well with that. And this makes a lot of sense to me. I never thought of this pairing because I always went Quinnen Mitchell or Terrion Arnold, but DeJean with his versatility to play inside and outside, also drop back and be able to play that deep half safety, with his stickiness in his hips and his change of direction ability playing in man, allowing him to play off the ball in cover 3 and then drive on the football, that makes a lot of sense to me in this situation.
So, one second. Just pulling up something. Cooper DeJean has a lot of experience playing zone coverage, but it's been predominantly match.
Yeah, it's match 4.
It's been match quarters. It's been, you know, cover 6. It's been things like that. And cover 3 is a little bit different. I think he could make that transition to it. There is a corner here who has a little bit more experience playing in that off cover 3 system that was played heavily in college, mm-hmm. in Quinnen Mitchell. That has been, I don't want to say it's a terribly kept secret, but there's been a lot of leaks here between the two. Again, they're a team that could be looking at wide receiver. Brian Thomas could be an option here. Yeah. They could look at trying to move up for Rome Odunze or Malik Nabers, whichever one of those wide receivers fall. But I think here it's Cooper DeJean could be a fine fit, but I think Quinnen Mitchell, I think he just absolutely clears Cooper DeJean as a player and as a prospect and has that inside outside versatility.
Yep.
It's just a much better fit with where the Colts are at defensively.
And another thing, going back to Gus Bradley's scheme, yes, he plays a lot of primarily off cover 3, but he'll switch it up and play off man and drop a safety down. Like he'll go a split field safety look and drop a safety down and play man coverage underneath with man coverage on the outside, single high free safety stuff. He does a lot of those rotating coverages, which are very fun to watch, but it was such a different different conversation that I'd never heard before. And that primarily because Quinion Mitchell was off the board at that particular point. So sliding in Cooper DeJean made a lot of sense to me in terms of just the scheme and coverage versatility that he brings to the fold. We've got the Seattle Seahawks here on the clock and offensive line help. What I heard the other day was really fun. Graham Barton being able to play all five offensive line positions was so fun because he can play that center position. He can line up out on the right guard, take over for Abraham Lucas, who has some injury concerns. He's just a player that you can slide in and be a quality option. But I already see that you clicked the correct option on this one. Troy Faltano out of Washington. His offensive coordinator at Washington is the offensive coordinator for the Seattle Seahawks. This is a match made in heaven.
Yeah, I mean, his ability to play, I think that he can play any of the five spots. There was a lot of talk about him moving to center at one point early in this thing. I think that's kind of settled down a little bit, but he can still be a guard tackle, and that's what the Seahawks need. I mean, while they had a lot of, you know, a very promising showing in their rookie years from Charlie Cross and Abraham Lucas, both of them, I mean, they dealt with injuries this last season, and they both kind of faltered. So Troy Faltano, he can provide some insurance there while giving them an answer at guard that they are missing. Getting them out there on the field, seeing if Charlie Cross and Abraham Lucas can go up and step up. Graham Barton is an interesting one. I think this is a bit high for him. And because one of the big things with him is there's an extensive concussion history and injury history with him that we talked about last week a little bit that I think goes overlooked. So I think Troy Faltano here. And then sticking in the backyard again for the Jaguars, there's an edge rusher that they want to, you know, they need help getting after the quarterback. This is a position where, you know, I think that they could look at trading down here, team trying to get up and jump the Bengals for a certain tackle or, you know, Brian Thomas again. He's a guy that I think could go in this range with the team moving up. But I'm kind of, you know, I'm going to kind of cut it short with the trades a little bit and just stick to the picks where we have them. And with the Jaguars, there has been a lot linking them again with the pass rusher out of Florida State and Jared Verse.
Yeah.
Get that extra ability to get after the quarterback, try to win with fewer rushers, drop more in coverage, and just add more upfront potential in that, on that deep in the trenches for the Jaguars.
Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense. I mean, we talk about low moving costs. We're going from, Jacksonville, essentially Florida State to Jacksonville, Florida. That's a low moving cost, and he fits the profile too. I mean, he adds that the speed to power conversion. It plays well within that defense. And Josh Allen just got that huge contract. It's a good pair. That's a great pair. We got Bama X jumping here. What's up, Bama? It's good to see you, dude. It's been a while since we've seen you in the chat. Dropping $10 here. It's great support, dude. We appreciate that. Evening Broncos country. Less than a week until we get some clarity on the future plans at quarterback. Well, we've got the Bengals on the clock here in just a second. The Broncos are going to be coming up here soon as well. But yeah, thank you, Bama. Man, I really hope the Broncos trade back and don't take Bo Nix and just continue to trade back and don't take a quarterback, because I really don't want to have that conversation again. But yeah, I don't know, dude.
And I want to address something here with Doug. Doug coming in. Why do people like to bet against Vegas? They rarely lose. They have Knicks going to Denver as overwhelming favorites. I won't bet against that. That's your choice, Doug. And it's nothing exactly against Vegas or anything, but they do something is once you start, they start to get a lot of bets in one way, they will change their odds to try to change their bets. They don't lose often because they often will change their odds and stuff like that to hedge their bets to where they're still coming out on top no matter what. I do think that there is a really good chance that the Broncos end up with Bo Nix. I don't think it's at 12 like you do. And that could be here at 19 when we get to it, or it could be another trade down, or they can use the picks that they got from the Rams in the hypothetical trade down that we have here to move back up for Bo Nix. There's plenty of ways that it can still happen, and it doesn't have to happen at pick 12. But there's reasons why Vegas is rarely wins or rarely loses. They do a lot. And we just saw it just the other day. They had the odds for pick number two so overwhelmingly for Jaden Daniels. And then today they came out and it's basically even with Drake May. But a week ago it was the odds were very heavily, I believe, in Drake May's favor in like a week or two ago. They just change those odds so they can keep getting money in and, you know, just cover all their bases, basically.
Well, and the big thing here is that, yes, they do have Knicks as the overwhelming favorite to go to the Denver Broncos, but they never said anything about it being at 12. Like, yeah, Knicks is the favorite to be drafted by the Broncos. It makes a lot of sense. As much as I hate it, it does. But it never said anything about number 12 overall. In fact, I think that DraftKings opened up their odds on Bo Nix being selected at 31.5 over under. Like, yeah. Is he going to be in the first round or is he going to fall out of the first round? Like, that's where they open it up. Yeah, just because he's the favorite for the Broncos to draft him, they also think he's not going to be a first round draft pick. So there you can have that conversation on the other side. The Bengals here. This is a fun one. Go ahead, Eric.
This is a comment that I've seen quite a bit here. Todd, I don't think that Bo Nix is the quarterback the Raiders want. I don't think they want a quarterback at 13.
If they did, Michael Penix.
There's the Husky that they seem to want.
Yeah,
they have done a lot of work in and a lot of information coming out of out of Las Vegas points to Michael Penix. Not at 13 either.
The one connection that I can have with the Raiders, sorry to step on you, the one connection I have with the Raiders and Knicks is Tom Telesco drafted Marcus Mariota and Justin Herbert in his past lifetime. Oregon quarterbacks are his thing.
Yeah, that's
coincidental, but my boss is a Raiders fan. He brings that up all the time. Shout out to my boss, Joe. Regardless, let's get to the Bengals here. The Bengals are a fun team to kind of project because they need edge help. They need tackle help as well. And there are some quality players here. I mean, Latu is still available. Jared Versus went off the board. So did they lose Trey Hendrickson? Am I remembering correctly? They lost Trey Hendrickson?
I don't remember.
I know they have Miles Murphy. I know they have Sam Hubbard, and those are like the two top guys that they have left. I don't think that they have Trey Hendrickson anymore. I think
they have Trey Hendrickson.
Okay, so they still have Trey Hendrickson. That might kind of change my conversation here. Tackle then. Like, this is a premium tackle spot here. Tyler Guyton makes a lot of sense for them as a versatile player that can play both sides of the offensive line. They need a left tackle for sure. Eric, what do you think?
Tackle's an option. I don't think Tyler Guyton is the guy for them. If they go tackle, I believe that JC Latham would be the option here. But they need help getting after the quarterback on the inside. I could also see them going with Byron Murphy. And I say Byron Murphy and not Rezon Newton for a reason. I think that Byron Murphy goes not significantly, but well earlier than Rezon Newton does. They're fine on the edges. They're fine on the edges with Trey Hendrickson still and Miles Murphy still developing. They have some options there that they can go with and, you know, continue and develop. So it's a way of where do you want to go? Do you want to go offensive line or defensive line? And they really need help at both.
Mm-hmm. So why Murphy over Newton specifically? That was the question I asked, is why, and I cut you off and I do apologize. I thought you were done talking. Why Murphy over Newton for you?
Better player. And from everything, every conversation I've had, everything I've heard, it's viewed that similarly in the NFL. There might be one team that has, not one team specifically, but there might be teams that have Newton higher than Murphy, but I haven't heard it. And then looking at what the Bengals have done as well, they just brought in Trent Brown to play right tackle. They have Orlando Brown at left tackle.
Oh, I forgot.
They might be fine there.
Yeah.
They might be fine at tackle. And they have really been missing, you know, that interior pressure ability. They brought in Sheldon Rankins on a pretty decent deal, but they also lost. What's his name? He went to Detroit. They also lost him.
DJ Reader.
Yeah, DJ Reader. And BJ Hill is fine for what he is. They're really lacking depth on the interior. And Byron Murphy, there are so many similarities to his game with that of Geno Atkins.
Yes.
I'm going to go, I think if they don't trade down here, this is another option where they can trade down Byron Murphy here.
And specifically a trade down here. And this is a player that Eric, we were talking about earlier in the group chat. Brian Thomas Jr. is a prime spot here for a team wanting to trade up to, like, the Buffalo Bills would be a great candidate to trade up to come and get a Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU there. Now we have the Denver Broncos on the clock. And there's a couple of players here. There's three. You have them at the top three right now. Cooper DeJean makes a lot of sense for this team. They need cornerback help. They also need edge help. They need a quality pass rusher, a guy that can be a Batman and lots of just happens to me, my guy. Trezon Newton has a three technique that can come in and play, get after the quarterback. Struggles against the run, though. That was one thing I wanted you to talk about with Newton versus Murphy. Murphy's a quality run defender. Trezon Newton is not. Trezon Newton is an explosive pass rusher at the three tech position, but he is not a quality run defender. To me, this pick is obvious. If the Broncos do trade down to number 19, this pick is absolutely the most obvious thing that I have seen yet. Laiatu Latu makes the most sense. He fits with what the Broncos want to do. He's a quality pass rusher. He has high level production. There's injury concerns, sure, but 2 years worth of production at UCLA has pretty much quashed those. That's where I'm going, dude. What do you think?
Well, you got close to hitting the nail on the head there. We can't forget that George Payton loves himself those injured, concerned UCL.
Damn it. I forgot that.
But anyways, Laiatu Latu, that is where I would have Denver going here. If they can't trade down, this is another position that way there they can trade down. I'm not going to have them trade down because we are short on time. I will have them staying place and taking Laiatu Latu. One team that has been linked with wanting to move up to solidify their tackle position and continue to help out their quarterback, the Arizona Cardinals. That is another team that, again, working the board, moving back up. Tyler Guyton is a big name here. And they've also done a lot of work on Patrick Paul. And if they feel that he can go, you know, here soon, that can be the option as well. JC Latham, he's getting to that point where he could be off the board. But yeah, Laiatu Latu, as the Broncos look to try to find their Batman pass rusher, Baron Browning, unrestricted free agent after this year, Jonathan Cooper, unrestricted free agent after this year, Nick Benito, a year away from needing an extension or would be entering his final year of his deal next year. So this edge room, there is not much of a future in it as it is because of the contract situation. Laiatu Latu, injury concerns, yeah, they're there, but everything has been, you know, he's cleared the medical checks at the combine. You know, he played 2 years at UCLA without the next ever being an issue, without ever complaining of, you know, his next bothering him even. And that goes a long way. Like, you can have injury issues, but if you're still able to play and you go a long time without it, that, you know, the medical aspects of the combine and stuff like that, they weigh that a lot. Laiatu Latu, I mean, we see an example of a similar player to him. I'm not saying that these are the same players, but Max Crosby, we see him twice a year. His hand technique is absolutely phenomenal. Laiatu Latu isn't that far behind him with his hand technique. Like, there is a gap, but it isn't as huge of a gap as you would think for a guy entering the NFL. He does better against the run than what a lot of people, including our colleague Nick, thinks. And in fact, you know, when looking at analytics against the run, he isn't far behind Jared Verse, who many people view as the best run defending edge in this, though to me that's Marshawn Nyland. So Laiatu Latu here, if they can't trade back, I think that's kind of what they're looking for. From what I've gathered is at 12 that they would be looking at a couple edges, Jared Verse being one of them. Byron Murphy is an option for them, Laiatu Latu. And they're able to trade down, pick up some extra picks, and still get one of their guys that has been linked heavily with them just to be selected at 12.
Yeah. You said something really fast that I want to address on before we get out of here. And we've got a comment that we got to grab just quickly because it's Michael. Michael jumping in here again, if I can find it. Michael Ronquillo, where did it go? Where did it go? It's running away from me, and I have no idea where it is. Michael jumping in here. Great show tonight, Lance and Eric on the Dove Valley Deep Divers. Go Broncos. Thank you, Michael, for joining us as always. And thank you all for joining us as per usual on a great Friday evening. Back to that conversation, though. You were talking about Laiatu Latu and his hand usage. I don't remember how to say this guy's name, but I have to give him a shout out. He's the defensive line coach, now turned the defensive coordinator for the UCLA Bruins. When you watch that defensive line, and they are constantly using active hands and counter rush moves, getting after the quarterback. And a guy, this is actually kind of my new dream scenario, trade down to get Laiatu Latu and then wait until the third round and take his teammate Gabriel Murphy. Because Gabriel Murphy, while he's a little bit undersized and has a lack of length, his hand fighting techniques is just incredible. He does so well playing with leverage, and he has the great arm over the swim move, the rip swipe. Like, he has everything that you want. He's position versatile. And if you want to rebuild the edge room, get technically refined guys like that on either side of each other and just let them go to work, man, because that would be so much fun to watch in this defensive front, dude. What do you think about that? Just quickly before we close the show.
Yeah, no. higher on Murphy than I am, man. But Barry coming in, Law 2 plus Knicks in the second, I'd go for that. My final mock draft is coming up. It'll be, I believe we're aiming to publish it Monday. So keep an eye out for that. And this comment might be a bit of a spoiler there.
I mean, I'm here for it. If you trade down, land Law to get some more draft capital, land Knicks in the second round, I'm good with it. I'm good with that. Yeah. I'd rather stay at number 12 and take Byron Murphy, but that's just me.
And one thing too is, like, there's been a lot of complaints about me with how I'm about Bo Nix, but I've made it clear I am fine with Bo Nix in the late first, early second. Mm-hmm. I have tried to make that as clear as possible. And I mean, my first mock draft, I had Denver, I believe Denver trading down twice and taking Bo Nix in the late first.
Yep.
I'm fine with that. Just not Bo Nix at 12. That's just a no for me. But yeah, so stay tuned for that mock draft. There'll definitely be a little bit of trades in it. Might have gotten a little bit of a spoiler here tonight doing this with Denver moving down, and I believe that we also have the roundtable mock draft coming up as well. Yep. And then the live draft show. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a great, 8 days, basically, because we going into next Saturday, which is the marathon day for the draft, where we are absolutely exhausted and, falling asleep behind the wheel kind of thing. But thank you guys for joining us tonight. I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. Doug, Jeremy, if you're still watching, I hope you guys have sweet dreams of Bo Nix. and we'll see you guys later. Again, have a great weekend.
Yeah, thank you all for joining us. No Scott tonight, so if I missed any comments on Facebook that has stars, we definitely appreciate those and don't want to leave you guys out in the cold. So thank you for joining us on YouTube and Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, anywhere you guys are watching the show, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, after the fact. Definitely, we appreciate every single one of you guys. This was a fun conversation, but let's keep the conversation going. You guys can find us on Twitter by following us at Lance Sanderson MHH for me and for Eric at Eric Trickle, also at Mile High Huddle. That's the mother account where you guys get breaking news and analysis regarding your Denver Broncos. You've got film breakdowns. All of our draft content is going up there. You guys can find all of that there at Mile High Huddle and at milehighhuddle.com. Facebook supporters, make sure you go to facebook.com/milehighhuddlepod to get back into the conversation again on that side as well. Hit up MHHmerch.com. Get yourself a hat, a t-shirt, anything to suit your fancy. If you're not financially able to do so, stars and super chats on Facebook and YouTube, great way to support the show. If you're not able to do that, though, like, subscribe, and share across all platforms, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch. Again, we definitely appreciate your guys' love and support. And with that, guys, we have to say good evening. For Eric Trickle, I am Lance Sanderson. You all stay safe and take care. Have a great rest of your weekend. We'll see you guys Tuesday, I believe, is the latest word I heard for the Mile High Huddle Roundtable. If not, we'll get back to it. We will see you soon. If nothing else, we'll see you guys on Thursday night for the
Soon. We won't see you. We'll see your names in the chat.
Yeah, but you guys will see us soon.
You know what we're saying.
Exactly. Just come in Thursday, half an hour before the draft. We're going to be going from the start of the draft to the end of it, live wall-to-wall coverage. We'll be there. You guys should be here, too. We appreciate your guys' love and support. We'll see you guys later. Bye!
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.